It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to That Chelsea Podcast. It is just a solo episode this weekend for you. It's just me because I'm very disorganized. So I'm sorry, you've just got to put up with me and my thoughts and ramblings on Chelsea's exit at the FA Cup semi-final stage. A 1-0 defeat to Manchester City. Ah, Wembley Stadium.
You are a factory of sadness!
More Wembley pain. Let's kind of just get into it and my thoughts, and we'll go off on different tangents as the episode goes on. Let's kind of just talk about, the team performance overall. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a solid 7 out of 10 for the first 65 minutes. I thought we were good. We were the better team, I think, for, you know, that first hour or so. I think the big change happens in the game when Doku comes on. I thought he was great when he came on for City, and I thought City were able just to exert control and authority, and then, you know, they sort of kept knocking at the door, and then eventually, got that goal and punished us for our missed chances. I guess we'll kind of break down the game. As said, it was a decent performance from Chelsea, really. But it's one where it's missed opportunities, and kind of some of the narrative or sometimes you see after the game is, oh, it's, you know, Chelsea plucky underdogs come undone. You know, controversial refereeing decision doesn't go our way. VAR decision doesn't go our way. And yeah, the plucky underdogs and the VAR decision not going our way. Yeah, definitely there's an element to that. Who knows how different the game would be. I'm kind of just a bit tired of hearing this same old something's gone against us at Wembley again, you know, and with us being sort of the underdogs. Like, City were tired yesterday. They played midweek. They were cooked. And we didn't really take advantage of it. And it just felt such a missed opportunity. And that's kind of where I feel more of yesterday is yes. And we'll get into some of those decisions. But I thought it was a really, really big missed opportunity from Chelsea yesterday. And one that, you know, I think unfortunately has had a big impact now on our season. Let's kind of get into the game. Unfortunately, there probably is only one place to start, one person to start with. And that is with Nico Jackson. Yeah. He had a very tough day at Wembley yesterday, didn't he? Certainly in front of goal. I actually really liked his all-round game. I thought he caused the City defence a lot of problems with his runs in behind, and his link-up player points was good. I said, you know, I thought his game, outside of his finishing, was really good. But unfortunately, he is in this Chelsea team to score goals. And yeah, he misses three chances yesterday. I think the first one where he doesn't even end up taking a shot and nothing comes of it. That is obviously just appalling. That simply can't happen. And it's just so frustrating. You know, he goes around the keeper and then he's reluctant to shoot and he's on his left foot. Is he kind of thinking back to that game at Brentford a month or two ago where, you know, he rounds the keeper and has that really weak shot with his left foot that kind of gets cleared? on the line. Is that maybe why he doesn't take it from there? But then I don't know, why doesn't he just open his body up and shoot, given the positioning of Ortega? I don't know. It, that was a missed opportunity. And then obviously in that second half as well, he's through one and one. Were any of us really super confident he would score? No, it's an okay shot, which Ortega palms out. And then obviously that, then, you know, the, in the next sort of phase of play, that header, which straight on, which is just an awful header. Yeah, it was a tough day for Nicholas Jackson. There's no denying that. For the people who doubt him and don't rate him, again, yeah, he would have done, you know, yesterday did nothing, would have done nothing to change that view. I do feel sorry for Nicholas Jackson because I think, and I don't think it's asking too much for him to do better with those chances yesterday, but I felt for a while that Chelsea are asking too much of him this season. Chelsea, if you're relying on him as your only striker for a whole season, near enough, given that, you know, Broya has not played loads, been out injured, had time on, you know, gone on loan to Fulham now. He is our only striker. And Chelsea, I don't really know what they were thinking they could achieve with just him as our only striker this season. I don't know how many times on the podcast I had to say, I've used the example of Tammy Abraham in 1920 having Olivier Giroud to rely on. Nicholas Jackson does not have that. And yes, yesterday is a poor performance from him and one that, you know, obviously is, you know, not good enough if Chelsea want to progress in the cups. But again, there was no option to replace him with yesterday, which is just a symptom of just a wider issue and the poor squad planning that has been put in place by the sporting directors. Again, yesterday, again, it's simple. Where does Poch have to turn to? Yesterday, with Jackson struggling, there's no other alternative other than to keep him on the pitch. And as I said, I actually think his all-round game, outside of his finishing, was good. But yeah, it was a real struggle for Nico. And that was a shame. I said Chelsea in the final third in general yesterday were just abysmal. I mean, we'll get on to some chances. I thought, I said, Ben Chilwell, when he comes on, why does he keep running? Why does he keep drilling the ball? He's got to try and square that to Sterling. There's an opportunity there. I think there's one in when Caicedo makes a breakaway in the second half as well. And his, you know, he runs out of breath, runs out of puff basically towards the end in that sort of cross. I think just go, you know, goes out for a goal kick or something. And I think there's one with Gusto, maybe in first half, second half, where he doesn't quite release Jackson time. There were chances for Chelsea yesterday. I said we did get in behind City, but unfortunately we just didn't do enough with it. Obviously, Palmer had that really nice moment in the first half where, you know, he kind of shifted past Rodri and got that low shot away that Ortega palmed away. I said I thought Chelsea were decent yesterday. I thought in general, defensively yesterday, we were decent. I would say that's the best we've looked probably since that Manchester City game at the Etihad in terms of defensive solidity. You know, I said I thought Trevor Chalobah was probably my player of the match for Chelsea yesterday. I thought he was outstanding at the back. Thiago Silva as well, I thought he was pretty solid. Malo Gusto, I think, had a challenging afternoon. Part of that maybe is that fatigue. He does obviously get subbed off with a bit of time left in the game. He was dribbled past five times against Manchester City, more than any other player while he was on the pitch. So again, you know, he was didn't have his best game defensively for Chelsea yesterday. A right back, I thought Cucurella again, you know, he was solid enough yesterday, but then again, all their question marks on him for the goal with Bernardo scoring late there. Said Enzo, I thought, just really underwhelming yesterday. But again, I don't want to necessarily go, you know, too on him because we kind of know he's kind of carrying that hernia. Is he really fit to play now? Is it now best for Chelsea to just say get the operation and maybe you miss some game time now? Because I thought he really, really, really was underwhelming at Wembley Stadium yesterday and just, you know, kind of looked not really at the races yesterday. I think yesterday was a classic example of I guess the good and the bad of Conor Gallagher. I thought, you know, out of possession, I thought Conor was absolutely outstanding yesterday. But when you kind of look at moments when he's on the ball and maybe just a bit, you know, at times you kind of just see maybe things fall a bit. But then also he was, you know, able to, you know, play Jackson through a couple points as well. But like he was solid, he was fine. I thought Moises, like I said, was okay. Not in my way, he was decent. Okay, I think he kind of withered away a little bit. Wasn't as much of a threat as said Cole Palmer. Was solid for Chelsea yesterday, you know, maybe not as we didn't see as involved or as, in, yeah, as previous games, but I thought that was a pretty solid showing. And I thought Nicholas Jackson said, I really liked what I kind of saw from him yesterday, except from the finishing bit. If I'm talking about his Chelsea performance as a whole, there's probably quite a lot of 6 out of 10s there. Trevor Chalobah probably say an 8 out of 10. Maybe we give Thiago Silva like a 7 out of 10. I thought he was pretty solid about it. Maybe we give Cole Palmer a 7. I don't think it was his most effective game, but he still had some nice moments, etc. And then unfortunately, on the other hand, end of that scale, you've got Nicholas Jackson probably dropping like a 3 out of 10 performance. And that's maybe before we get onto the subs. So it's tough. And when you play like that, you can't beat City playing like that. You've got to have, you know, your team performance has got to be more than that. As I said, the first 60 minutes were an opportunity for Chelsea. I mean, I think after that, City just did take over, and it was very kind of the feeling of inevitability. Chelsea couldn't really get out. City just were great on the ball. And yeah, it was just sort of, okay, here we kind of go. Petrovic, fair enough. I saw he was solid yesterday, made some big saves. I thought Chelsea's playing out of the back yesterday was interesting. Points, scary. Again, I thought we started that game very poorly. There were a couple of moments we gave the ball away in dangerous areas, and I think Thiago Silva had to sort of lunge in and get a ball away, etc. But I also think as time went on, we did also start playing out quite well, and we did kind of get past that City press, and we did, you know, put a couple of nice moves together. It was not bad yesterday, but this is kind of my point. I'm seeing, like, it was fine, it was decent, it was not bad, but that's not good enough to beat Manchester City, regardless of kind of, you know, the state they're in. So that was obviously quite frustrating. Let's talk Maurizio Pochettino. I have no real gripes with him yesterday, to be honest, in terms of the game plan. I thought Chelsea, actually, you know, as I said, I think that's the best we've looked defensively since that Carabao Cup. Since that Manchester City game at the Etihad, I thought, you know, we were pretty good. As I said, until maybe later on, I said in that first half, what, you know, really chances, and maybe early stage second half, what real chances did they have? Obviously, Foden, I think, goes around Petrovic, then, you know, I was unable to do anything. Kukrela sort of clears that header off the line, and then obviously there's, you know, again a Foden chance which he comes up for. Obviously in the end, Petrovic ends up making some more saves. But I thought defensively we were decent, and said we were, you know, able to kind of get in behind City at points, you know, as well. It was, you know, it said the game plan wasn't bad. I think what didn't help was the lateness of the substitutes. And granted, maybe you can look at that Chelsea bench and wonder what subs to make. But I think by the time the substitutes came on, City had, you know, got that ascendancy. They were on top, and it was quite hard for those substitutes to really come on and make a difference. You know, I think Mikhailo Mudryk comes on. I mean, his cameo off the bench was not good yesterday. And that free kick at the end just kind of summed it up. I'm kind of getting ready to leave Wembley. I'm kind of by the edge of the row, and you see that Mudryk free kick just drift over into no one in injury time out for a goal kick, and you're like, right, that's the game up. But again, he didn't really have an opportunity to properly influence the game. Could he have come on about maybe that hour mark? As said, City made those two subs earlier, but John Stones went off at half-time, Doku coming on for Grealish in the 66th minute. I said, could Pochettino, that's my gripe, could he have made those subs early? De Zerzi comes on for Gusto at right-back, and look, obviously kind of Axel De Zerzi at right-back is not ideal, folks. We don't really like watching Axel De Zerzi at right back, do we? As said, Gusto, I don't think we had his greatest game. So him coming off, I didn't necessarily have an issue with. And as said, was it fatigue? You know, he's played quite a lot recently. But again, why couldn't we maybe put Trevor Chalobah to right back then? Or do you, you know, and put De Zerzi at centre back? Trev's done all right back in the past, you know, or do you kind of then just bring Chilwell on and switch Cucurella and Chile around, maybe? I don't know. And again, I thought, say, those are the two subs you make in 79th minute. Emma Minex, who come in the 88th minute. Raheem Sterling for Enzo Fernandez and Ben Chilwell for Marco Cucurella. Again, like, what are you expecting them to do with that limited time on the pitch? It was that's my one gripe with Pochettino yesterday. I thought the lateness of the subs really wasn't great. And I said, it was meant Chelsea were really unable to do anything. What we saw, I guess, you know, there's obviously the talking point of the game, which we should get onto. Cole Palmer's free kick that hits Jack Grealish's hand. I said, that is a penalty. Having seen it back, that is a clear penalty. I don't know how that doesn't get given. I say, I don't know how. I mean, it's VAR, and and you're asking incompetent officials to get things right. Like, faith in the people refereeing these games. There is no faith. We have no belief in these people. The level of officiating is in the gutter. The fact that it was not even given as a corner. I'm sorry, what point did that not class as a clear and obvious error? And I'm not saying, you know, Chelsea should have then got a corner, because you can't get a corner. You know, VAR is not in for things like that, but I'm stunned how that does not get even a look at the monitor or anything to make a mind up that gets missed. And look, I don't want to, you know, it would be easy to say that's a turning point of the game, but at that point of the game, it is 0-0. It is an opportunity for Chelsea to get a goal. And if Palmer scores and Chelsea go 1-0 up, you know, do City have the legs, the energy to really come back into that game? You know, because I said that belief that City had was, you know, it helped because it was 0-0 of the game. Chelsea hadn't put them away. If it's 1-0, is there still that same energy from City to really go and get it? I don't know. But as I said, yeah, that was obviously a very poor moment of the game. Some of it should be talked about. It was, yeah. And then I guess obviously thing that's kind of been doing the rounds on social media after the game was, I guess, the contrast in reaction between Thiago Silva and Noni Madueke. Obviously we see Thiago Silva in tears. It is likely his, that was likely his last chance of winning a trophy at Chelsea gone. We see him in tears. We see kind of, I guess, how much it means to him. And then in the background, there's Noni Madueke laughing with Jack Grealish. Now, I don't like analysing sort of player behaviours after a game because the game is done and that simply has no impact on the game. You know, that does not change. Noni crying or showing more emotional caring would not change the result. So I don't like really diving into these things. I think at points it can just be bashing for nothing. But obviously, that does not look good. And it also does not look good when you see his reaction to not being given the penalty on Monday, and that you kind of see him essentially, you know, it can easily come across to people that he's more annoyed about not getting a chance to score a penalty with Chelsea 4-0 up against Everton than he is about Chelsea losing a semi-final. Now, we don't know that, and I doubt that, you know, is the case, but that's how it looks. That's how it looks to people. And when this is, you know, and it, I said, and yesterday does absolutely nothing to maybe change that perception or image around Noni that he's a selfish player and he cares more about himself than the team. I said, so yeah, that I guess is just again another frustrating talking point from yesterday. It's an opportunity gone. It's one pathway into Europe closed, and it just feels, yeah, it's just disappointing. It's just really disappointing. And look, I guess maybe being cynical, then it means it we avoid, you know, potential more Wembley pain in the final, where Chelsea would probably, you know, conspire to find a way to not win a final at Wembley. But it is just so disappointing, and it is just so frustrating that again another trip to Wembley has ended with Chelsea just fluffing their lines on the big stage. Chelsea's attacking play has not been perfect under Maurizio Pochettino this season, far from it, but has been a lot better. But the Wembley games, there just seems to be this sort of mental block around Chelsea, and it's bizarre because this is a mental block that seems to have been going on for years, and this is a different set of players. And I mean, it does kind of make you wonder, are Chelsea just simply cursed? Is there just some weird, horrible, like, curse on this team? And what you know, when is this Wembley hoodoo gonna end? Because Chelsea really just do struggle to score at Wembley Stadium. It's really, yeah, it's just a really, really painful experience, to be honest, going to Wembley. And the fact that, you know, we go with not that confidence that really Chelsea are going to score a goal at Wembley. It's... As I said yesterday, it was disappointing, and it was an opportunity missed, a real good opportunity missed, given the state City were in. It was probably the ideal time to play them, and unfortunately, we were poor in the final third, and that let us down. And you give a team like City chances like that, and they will score, and they do eventually score in the 84th minute. It's a ball by De Bruyne, finds its way across the box, and there is Bernardo Silva at the back post to score. Yeah. It's a poor goal to concede. You know, Cucurella at fault maybe there, Mudryk potentially, but he's kind of really like sort of watching his man a bit maybe. I don't know. It's just a frustrating goal to concede in a game that really was not like, it was really not a great game yesterday of football, and it was just such a missed opportunity, and it's so frustrating. And as I said, that is one pathway to Europe closed. And now Chelsea have to pick themselves up because Chelsea have got to try and still make something of this season. And I guess let's kind of move the conversation on now to Chelsea in the Premier League and trying to qualify for Europe through league position.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
So, obviously, in the week, we had the wonderful news that Arsenal did get knocked out of the Champions League by Bayern Munich. Manchester City also got knocked out by Real Madrid in the midweek. And then obviously on the Thursday, we saw Liverpool and West Ham get knocked out by Atalanta and by Leverkusen respectively. And look, while I'm sure as a lot of us, you know, fans, we enjoyed this, obviously quite obviously wanting the English teams not to win in Europe, tribalism and all that, and just rivalry. And obviously, you know, everyone's delighted with Arsenal, especially Arsenal, we're not going to win the Champions League. But it did have a damaging impact on the coefficient and Chelsea's hopes of qualifying for Europe. It means that eighth place is not going to be probably enough now to get a Europa Conference League spot, and seventh and sixth are not going to be enough for Europa League. It's now looking at seven spots for Europe next season, seventh for the Conference League and sixth and fifth for the Premier League. So that obviously kind of, I guess in a way, well, at least it puts, you know, it kind of it makes us clear now what we need to do if we want to achieve Europe this season. And said, look, we're not catching Tottenham Hotspur in fifth. I said, we are 13 points behind them with seven games to go. There is no way we are closing that gap on Spurs. I said, we are fighting. If we want Europa League, we are fighting Newcastle, Manchester United for those European spots. West Ham have got battered away at Crystal Palace today. As I said in the last, I've said in recent pods, there is no excuse for Chelsea to finish lower than eighth this season. I said, because they're 1 point behind West Ham, who are eighth and have three games in hand. So the lowest Chelsea should finish this season is eighth. But that is not going to be enough for European football now, given what has happened midweek. And now it is crucial that Chelsea recover and try and bounce back as quickly as possible, because I'm going to talk about now Chelsea's next two games, Arsenal midweek and Aston Villa at the weekend. You know, by 10 o'clock on Saturday, next Saturday, we could have quite a clear view of Chelsea's season. And Chelsea's season could potentially, if the worst happens, be over. And the reason I say that is Manchester United, as disorganised, as chaotic as they are, as woefully out of form as they are, they do have on paper kind fixtures to Manchester United. Manchester United's next two games, that is anyway, are Sheffield United at home on Wednesday and Burnley at home on the Saturday. You would expect that to be 6 points. They also have Crystal Palace away, Arsenal at home, Newcastle at home and Brighton away. So they do have tough fixtures to end. But again, their next two, you'd imagine, are games they should be winning and getting 6 points in. Newcastle's next three games include two of those teams Manchester United play. They're away at Burnley and away, and they're home to Sheffield United, and in the midweek they're away at Crystal Palace, which will be quite a tricky test. My point being is you'd expect Newcastle, again, as a minimum, really, to pick up 6 points from those three games as a minimum, maybe possibly more, depending. And again, you'd expect Manchester United to pick up 6 points from those games, which again, if we do that, would then put Newcastle and Manchester United 9 points clear of Chelsea. And then obviously Chelsea would have the games in hand. But if we look at it, Chelsea go to Arsenal midweek, an Arsenal team that, yes, are probably quite tired. I think they've probably rotated some of the least out of the teams in the Premier League. A lot of their players have played a lot of minutes this season, more than their sort of counterparts at the other sort of big three. And I think that is kind of showing. Arsenal do look a bit fatigued, and there it certainly will be an opportunity to get at them. And then obviously they go to Aston Villa. But my fear is for Chelsea, if these two games away at Arsenal and away at Aston Villa are negative results, which could very easily happen, then Chelsea would all of a sudden, say, potentially be in a position where they find themselves, say, 7 to 9 points away from sixth and seventh. And then all of a sudden, with about five games to go, that is, and then Chelsea would probably have to be near on perfect, which is asking a lot, considering I'm also very fearful that Chelsea have got to go to a Nottingham Forest side battling relegation. And that is a typical game for Chelsea, you know, to potentially slip up in. So I said, these next two games for Chelsea are huge. They're huge for their season. They're huge for Mauricio Pochettino, because Chelsea, if Chelsea do not get Europe this season, no one can paint this season as a success for Chelsea Football Club. They'll have won no trophies, which granted, I don't think maybe some of us expected to, but the opportunities have been there in the cups when you think of the situation that, presented itself in the Carabao Cup final against Liverpool, and obviously the situation that presented itself against City yesterday. There were games that we would have gone into as underdogs, but also, you know, there were opportunities missed there that we did, you know, unfortunately, we just couldn't take. And if Chelsea were to miss out from Europe this season has not been a success. It has been, I mean, I'd say it's been a failure, whether people, you know, people maybe caveat with the injuries, etc. we've had. But if Chelsea did not qualify for Europe, then it has been a failure. And then it, you know, again, would lead to the questions of what do you do next with Mauricio Pochettino? As I said before, I feel that for Mauricio Pochettino earns his stay at Chelsea by either winning a domestic cup, well, that's out the window now, or qualifying for Europe. And as I said, qualifying for Europe is now going to be that bit harder. So it is crucial. I think Chelsea have to probably get 3 points from these next two games against Arsenal and Aston Villa, which, look, it's achievable, right? Let's be honest, it's achievable. We played Arsenal at Stamford Bridge earlier in the season. We drew two all and we should have beaten them. We would have beaten them if Robert Sanchez hadn't passed the ball straight to Declan Rice, I imagine. Arsenal, I would say, have probably got better since that moment and are, in general, a pretty good team. And Aston Villa, again, I would say is obviously the more winnable of those two games there. I would say, obviously, you know, we've seen from playing Aston Villa this season that I think each game we have got better against them. And that culminated in winning that replay against them in the FA Cup 3-1 with arguably our performance or one of our performances of the season. So there is reason, you know, to be optimistic. And obviously there's also, you know, games against Tottenham and West Ham at home to follow. There's a Brighton away game to be, you know, scheduled in there. So look, there is still the opportunity for Chelsea to get Europe through league position. I guess my fear is if this week does not go well and Chelsea lose both games and say Manchester United and Newcastle win those games, then there is that gap. And maybe do the Chelsea players, is that belief in the camp gone that they can still get Europe? They're then relying on favours from elsewhere, which is still achievable, but which, you know, could still very easily happen given the form of certainly someone like Manchester United. But then also then Chelsea having to be near on perfect, which is, you know, asking a lot from this team this season, which is why, again, I've kind of say I bemoan those draws against Sheffield United and Burnley, because, you know, if Chelsea had won those games like they should have done, the position they would be in right now would be a lot healthier. Said they would be in sixth place and there would be that little bit less pressure and less importance on those Arsenal and Aston Villa games, and just that little bit more room for error, but, you know, potentially there will not be. So yeah, look, there's a lot to do for Chelsea now. I said it's a big week coming up. I think it's crucial how we respond, because it's crucial for Chelsea to end this season well. Chelsea cannot end this season poorly, sort of akin to last season, really, where you just kind of fade into nothing. This group, these players have got to, you know, they've still got something to fight for. They've still got a Europa. And as it stands right now, they do have a chance to Europe, but they've got to just go into those Arsenal and Aston Villa games. And just, they've got to try and probably get 3 points from those two games to, you know, still be in a good position. But yeah, look, we will see. It was obviously frustrating yesterday. I said, Nicholas Jackson, yeah. Disappointing, very disappointing day for him. His finishing not good enough. Decision making in those and the conviction poor in those areas. It's tough. I've been generally pleased with him this season, but yesterday was a day that was tough for him. It's a learning experience, and I just hope that yesterday doesn't really crush him mentally. Hopefully, it's, you know, he can, you know, it will just be one of those learning experiences that he can look back on in the past. But obviously, in the here and now, it does cost Chelsea, and that is just really, really unfortunate. But as I said, I thought yesterday it was fine. It was a 7 out of 10 performance for the first 60, 65 minutes, and then City outplayed us for the last 25, 30, and I can't really argue with City winning. Obviously, we should have had a penalty. Yes, that could have changed the game, etc. But that's the way the life goes. And again, yes, that should have been given, but we can't be relying on officials to help us win these games. We've got to do it ourselves, and we still, you know, had the opportunity and had the chances to do it ourselves, and we didn't take them, and that's what's so frustrating, is this feeling of predictability at watching Chelsea at Wembley again. But look, it was a disappointing day yesterday. I said Chelsea have played Manchester City 3 times this season. They've, you know, they've matched up quite well with them. They've gone toe for toe, but we've unfortunately not been able to beat them 3 times. And I think it also is quite telling that City weren't good yesterday and they were still able to find a way, with Chelsea playing relatively well. And that just shows the gulf in class between the two sides. It shows, you know, the mentality Manchester City have, that they are able to find a way to win even when not playing well and being tired, etc. And yeah, it just shows how much work at Chelsea still needs to be done. As I said, I don't think we learned anything new from watching Chelsea yesterday. It was a Chelsea performance we've seen at Wembley for the last number of years. It's, you know, it was probably an example of a coach with a decent game plan and being at times let down by poor finishing, etc. Yeah, as I said, I don't really blame Poch much for yesterday, other probably than the lateness of his subs. It was a frustrating day at Wembley. It was disappointing, and Chelsea just have to try and move on now. But yeah, look, that's kind of my summation for the day at Wembley. Not bad, not amazing, but, you know, good performance, but good, fine is not enough to beat Manchester City. It always needs to be more. But say that's going to wrap it up for this episode of At Chelsea Podcast. It's late out to you folks. I do apologize. I've been very disorganized this weekend. But yeah, we'll see you midweek to look back at Arsenal. But until then, keep the blue flag flying high.
I guess I better give you one of these podcast voice notes then, shouldn't I? See you again next year for the exact same game where we miss a shitload of chances, dubious refereeing decision, and then concede and lose.
Sports Social Podcast Network.